turn to Exodus chapter 39. And if you don't have a Bible, we want to give you one. We've got enough. We've got enough on the welcome desk. So if you don't have a Bible and you need one, go to the welcome desk. You can get a free Bible. We'll buy more if they run out. It's always a good problem if a church runs out of Bibles. Amen. This morning we're going to finish our study of the book of Exodus. We've been looking at the book of Exodus now for about 5 months. I don't know about you, but I've enjoyed this time. I've enjoyed the journey. Journeying with the nation of Israel, starting as slaves in Egypt and being freed by God's mighty hand, many different wonders and signs, and God providing for his people in the wilderness, and then coming to Mount Sinai and God appearing to them there and giving them his law, making a covenant with him. And the last part, about the last half, almost the last half of the book of Exodus, is about the tabernacle. The tabernacle. The word tabernacle, as we've said, means dwelling place. It's God's house. The tabernacle right there in the middle, right there in the center of the nation of Israel, of their camp, was the Lord's house, the tabernacle, where God was to dwell with his people. And God gave instructions to Moses, exact blueprints on how to build his tabernacle. And now it's time for the children of Israel to build it. And last week we looked at the construction of the tabernacle. And this week we're going to finish the book from chapter 39, verse 32, through the end of chapter 40. After each and every piece is constructed, now it's time to assemble this tabernacle, to set it up, and to sanctify it, to consecrate it, to dedicate it to the Lord. So we have the construction of the tabernacle in chapters 35 to 39. And I've kind of skipped. Last week we looked at chapter 35, and I've skipped now to chapter 39, because these chapters, 36 to 39, really they are a repetition of chapters 25 to 31. In chapters 25 to 31, we have the instructions, the blueprints for the tabernacle. This is each and every piece of the tabernacle. This is how you're supposed to build it. And in the month of October, we talked about the tabernacle. Rob gave a couple of sermons. I gave a couple of sermons. If you weren't here, there were some great messages on the tabernacle and the priesthood. You can go to discoverychristian.org/sermons. Look in the month of October. You can listen to those sermons online. So I'm not going to talk about the pieces of the tabernacle because we did that last month. This morning I want to look at the end of the story. As it says here, the last part of this text is the consecration or the sanctification of the tabernacle, where the tabernacle is set up and it's dedicated to be a house of God, a house of worship. And that leads us to the topic of sanctification. The title of my message this morning, if you have the notes, is Tabernacle Sanctification and Your Sanctification. Sanctification is a very important topic for us as followers of Jesus Christ. What is sanctification? What does that mean? And how can we be sanctified? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. But first, let's just run through these chapters, or run through our text real quick. In verse 32 of chapter 39, it says, "Thus all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of meeting was finished. And the people of Israel did according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so they did." So here it says that the Israelites had finished building the tabernacle. And if you read, verses 33 down to 41, it has this long list, all the different pieces of the tabernacle. And again, we talked about that last month, what these pieces are and what they mean for you and for me. All the different parts of the tabernacle were completed. And so if you skip down to verse 42, it says, "According to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so the people of Israel had done all the work. And Moses saw all the work, and behold, they had done it. As the Lord had commanded, so had they done it. And then Moses blessed them." So how wonderful that must have been for Moses to look out on the camp of Israel, to see all the different pieces of the tabernacle completed, just as God had instructed them, all ready to go. And Moses looks out and he blesses the people. The language here is the same as that of Genesis chapter 1, the creation account. And indeed, the construction of the tabernacle is kind of like a second creation act, the creation of God's dwelling place with his people. But in chapter 40, begins in chapter 40, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, on the first day of the first month, you shall erect the tabernacle of the tent of meeting. So now that all the different pieces were completed, now it was time to assemble them together, to set the tabernacle up so that it could be used, that the priests could go in and minister in the tabernacle, and that it could be used as a center of worship. And so again, we have this list from verses 3 through 8, you know, this kind of catalog of all the different pieces of the tabernacle and how they were to be assembled and set up in the tabernacle. In verse 9 of chapter 40, God says to Moses, then you shall take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is in it and consecrate it and all its furniture so that it may become holy. And so the instructions of God, not just to set it up, but then to anoint it and to sanctify. That word consecrate is sanctify it. In other words, dedicate it to me so that it might be holy. This is a sacred place. This is where I dwell amongst my people. This is my house where I am in your midst. Sanctify this tabernacle. Sanctify this place unto me. And God instructs Moses in verses 9 to 15 on all the different parts of the tabernacle that he is to sanctify, to consecrate. Well, let's skip down to verse 16. It says, this Moses did, according to all that the Lord had commanded him, so he did. And so Moses listens to God. Everything that God commanded Moses, Moses obeyed. He listened, and he set it all up. He assembled it all, just as God had told him. And, you know, again, I'm not going to go through this whole section, verses 16 through 33. It's a very detailed section of how Moses assembled each and every part of the tabernacle, just as God had shown him, as God had commanded him. So skip down with me to the end of verse 33. It says, so Moses finished the work. What a wonderful feeling that must have been for Moses. Moses finished the work. God had given him these instructions, the blueprints for the house of worship, and the Israelites had built it, and now he had assembled it all together, he had set it all up, and now it was ready. The work was finished. Look with me, verses 34 to 38 is the conclusion of the entire book of Exodus. We've been studying the book of Exodus for 5 months. So here's the conclusion of everything. Verse 34, I love this. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Isn't that beautiful? After the tabernacle was built, after the tabernacle was sanctified, consecrated, dedicated to God, God's response was to come and fill the tabernacle with his presence, with his glory. God filled the tabernacle. And the last three verses talk about then how God is with his people as a cloud by day and as a fire by night. And he's leading his people, the people of Israel, all across the wilderness to the promised land. What a wonderful conclusion. Well, what does this have to do with your life? What does it have to do with my life? The topic this morning is sanctification. You know, there's so many different themes to the tabernacle. And we've been talking about a lot of these different themes related to the tabernacle. But one theme that we haven't talked about at all is the fact that you and I are a temple ourselves. The Bible teaches that you and I are a tabernacle. That's what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Paul says, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? God's temple is holy and you are that temple. You see, in the Old Testament, they had a tabernacle where God dwelt. But you see, in the New Testament, through Jesus Christ, if you place your faith in Jesus Christ and believe in him, he will forgive you of your sins. He'll cleanse you of your sins. And your sins are cleansed so God can dwell inside of you. By his Holy Spirit, God will dwell in you. Now, what is a tabernacle? What is a temple except the place where God dwells, right? And if God dwells in you, then you yourself are a tabernacle. You and I, through Jesus Christ, are temples. What's the purpose of a temple? The temple is to be holy, right? It is a holy place. It's a sacred place. And so the Bible calls you and me, since you and I are temples, we are to be holy as well. And that's what sanctification is. Sanctification just means I live, my life is a holy temple of God. And that's God's will. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, this is the will of God for you, your sanctification. God's will for your life as a Christian is not just to get saved, right? The whole purpose of the Christian life is not just fire insurance. It's more than that, right? Beyond just getting saved, beyond just believing in Jesus. God's will beyond salvation is what we call sanctification. And sanctification, to sanctify, just means to make holy. Now, as followers of Jesus Christ, God's purpose for your life and for mine is to be a holy temple, to live in holiness, to be sanctified. Well, the question is, how does that happen? How does sanctification work? How can I be sanctified? How can my life, my body, be a holy temple to the Lord? Well, there are three aspects of sanctification. You'll see that in the notes. Three aspects of sanctification. The first one is what's called separation. Separation. The word holy itself means separate, right? In other words, as God's holy people, we are to be separate. We're not to be like everybody else. We're to be different. We're not just to flow downstream with the culture. We're to live separate, to be different. Separation. And we see this in the tabernacle. The tabernacle was a house. Was it an ordinary house? Could anyone dwell in the tabernacle, live in the tabernacle? The tabernacle was separated from normal everyday use as a house. And it was dedicated to be a house of what? House of God. And that's the second aspect of sanctification. The second aspect of sanctification is dedication. We separate ourselves from the world, we separate ourselves from sin, and we dedicate ourselves to God. We dedicate our lives and ourselves to Him, to His worship, to His will, to His ways. Again, in the tabernacle, in chapter 40, verse 9, Moses says, then you shall take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is in it and consecrate or sanctify it and all its furniture so that it may become holy. The tabernacle was separated from normal use. It wasn't just to be any old house. It was to be a special house, a special tent, tent of meeting, a dwelling place between God and His people. And so the tabernacle was dedicated to God, to be used to worship the Lord. And it's the same way with you and with me. We are to separate ourselves from this world, from sin, from evil, and dedicate our lives and ourselves to God, to His worship, to His word, to His will, to His work, to His ways, dedicating ourselves to God, dedication. And the third aspect of sanctification, which we see in our text, is spirit filling. When the tabernacle was set apart from normal use and dedicated to be used to worship God, to be His house, what did God do? He filled the tabernacle with His presence. That's what we just read. And it's the same way in our lives. When we separate ourselves from this world to be different, when we dedicate ourselves to God, what's the response of the Lord? His response is to fill us with His Holy Spirit. So these three aspects of sanctification, separation, dedication, and spirit filling. And I want to read from the CMA Statement of Faith, the Christian Missionary Alliance, CMA. Our church is part of this movement. This is obviously not the whole Statement of Faith, but it is part of the Statement of Faith, that dealing with the subject of sanctification. It is the will of God that each believer should be filled with the Holy Spirit and be sanctified wholly, being separated from sin and the world, and fully dedicated to the will of God, thereby receiving power for holy living and effective service. I'm going to switch slides real quick. I've broken it down here. This statement's telling us it is God's will for your life. Every believer, God's will for you is that you would be filled with His Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Don't be drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit. Don't be full of wine or alcohol. Be full of the Spirit of God. That's a command to you and to me. We're to be filled with the Spirit. It's God's will. 1 Thessalonians 4:3, this is the will of God for you, your sanctification. God's will for your life as a follower of Jesus, not just salvation, not just fire insurance, but to be sanctified. How are we sanctified? You see these three aspects, separation, dedication, and spirit filling. You see this reflected in this statement. Number one, being separated from sin in the world. separation, separating ourselves from sin, from the world. Number two, dedication, fully dedicated to the will of God, dedicating ourselves to God, His will, His work, His ways. And number three, receiving power for holy living and effective service. What is the Holy Spirit? What does it mean to be Spirit-filled? And why do we need it? God's Holy Spirit is His power. Not your power, not your ability, but God's power to do what? To be His witness. Acts 1:8. The power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. God's Holy Spirit in your life is God's power in your life to live the Christian life as it's meant to be lived and to serve Him effectively. So these are the three aspects of sanctification that we see pictured in our text and that are expounded and taught to us more clearly in the New Testament as believers. And so for the rest of this message, I want to think about and focus on these three aspects of sanctification: separation, dedication, and Spirit filling. So let's talk about sanctification as separation. Sanctification as separation. As I said before, the Hebrew word holy, kadosh, it means literally separate. To be sanctified means to be different, not flowing downstream with everybody else, downstream of culture, not living like everyone else, but being separate, being different. Separation, separating ourselves from the sin, the evil of this world. That's the first part of sanctification. And that's what the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 6, 16 and 17. We're the temple of the living God. We've already talked about that. You and I, we're the temple of God. And as God's temple, it says, therefore go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing. As God's holy temple, we are to be separate, separated from the world. We're to be different than everyone else because we are God's temple. Vine's dictionary says this: sanctification is an act whereby people or things are set aside for use in the worship of God to be withheld from workaday use or profane use and treated with special care as a possession of God. The tabernacle was set apart. The priests couldn't just go to their friends and say, hey guys, guess what? We've got this big barbecue. You know, the altar of burnt offering. Let's have a barbecue on the altar right there in the court of the tabernacle. Were they allowed to do that? No, because this altar was separated from common use and dedicated to be used exclusively for the Lord and for His worship. And in the same way, you and I, our lives are to be separated from this world and from sin and dedicated to the will of God, to be used by Him. I'm going to be quoting from A.B. Simpson this morning. I'm going to be quoting from him a lot. He's a good guy to quote from. A.B. Simpson, the founder of our movement, wrote a book called Holy Sanctified. Holy Sanctified. I think he published it in like 1893. And by the way, if you want to know more about sanctification, I'd really encourage you to read that book. I really enjoyed it. It really helped me understand it, what sanctification means. I think it's only about 40 pages. And if you Google it, it's free online. I believe actually under cmalliance.org, it's on the Alliance's homepage. But you can find, just Google the, you know, Simpson Holy Sanctified. You can find that book free online. It's a short book, great read. But Simpson has a lot of good things to say in there. He says, sanctification means our voluntary separation from evil. It is not the extinction of evil. It is the putting off, the laying aside of evil, the detaching of ourselves from it, and placing an impassable gulf between. We are to separate ourselves not only from our past, but from our sin as a principle of life. The world would tell you to embrace your sin as who you are. The Bible says, no, separate yourself from sin, both past and present. That's not who you are. That's not the image of God that He created you to be. Jesus died for that sin, and it is dead and buried and gone with Him. So separate yourself from that and live to God. Paul the Apostle has at least two illustrations. He probably had more, but he had at least two illustrations for what it means, sanctification as separation. The first one is clothing. Clothing. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 and 24, he writes, "Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Paul says it's kind of like clothing. What do you do when you wake up in the morning? Every one of us, when we wake up, we take off our pajamas, the clothing we wore during the night in the dark. And what do we put on every day? We put on our clothing for the day, right? It's the clothing for the light for the day, right? And Paul says sanctification as a Christian is the same thing. Our lives as Christians the same way. We put off the old life. We put off the sinful life. We say, that's not me. That's not who I am. I separate myself from that. And not only we put off the sinful life, the sinful self, but just as we put on our clothes each day, so we put on Jesus Christ. We put on our new identity. Remember 2 Corinthians 5:17? If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, the old things have passed. Everything is new. So sanctification just means walking in that reality, believing that that is true. The old life is gone. The old self, the sinful self is gone. It's dead, buried with Christ. I am new. I am a new creature. I have a new identity. I am in Christ, putting off the old and putting on the new. The second illustration that Paul uses is in Romans. This morning, we're going to be in Romans chapters 6 through 8 a lot. Raise your hand if you've read Romans chapters 6 through 8. Read it again. I remember when I was out of high school, I spent a couple of years in my devotions studying Romans chapter 6 through 8. Man, you can never get enough of Romans 6 through 8. It's the sanctification chapters in the Bible. So much good stuff in there. Obviously, I can't teach on all of it, but just a few little nuggets here. Paul says, we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In verse 11, so you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Paul states the obvious. All of us know Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the dead. Everybody knows that, right? Simple. But the brilliant thing Paul does is he takes this simple truth and he turns it into a profound truth for your life and for mine. You see, because if you believe in Jesus, that Jesus died on the cross and rose again, then you have died. Paul says you've died with him. His death is your death, and you've been raised to life with him. His resurrection is your resurrection. And so he says, you also must consider yourselves dead to sin. The death you died with Christ on the cross was a death to sin. The old self, the sinful life, you died. It's dead. It's gone. And the life you live, he says, and alive to God, you were raised with Christ. You have a new life, a new beginning, a new identity. You're in Christ. You live to God. So just as you take off your pajamas and you put on your clothes in the morning, so take off, put off that old self, the sinful self, and put on Jesus Christ. Just as Jesus died and he no longer will die again, so you died with him to sin. And just as Jesus rose from the dead and lives now for God, so you've risen with him and you live your life, your purpose in life is to live for God. And so the first application question, sanctification as separation, are you sanctified? What about you? Are you sanctified? Sanctification as separation. Have you separated yourself from sin? Have you separated yourself from sin? And the second question is it's just the same as the first. It's just a little bit more specific. Have you made a conscious decision before God in prayer to separate yourself from all sin in your life, both in your past as well as in the present? Have you ever done that? Have you separated yourself from sin in your life? The sin of your past and the sin even in your present life, separating yourself. Sanctification begins with separation. But of course, it doesn't end there. Next, we want to talk about sanctification as dedication. Exodus chapter 40, verse 9. God says to Moses, then you shall take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is in it and consecrate. That word consecrate means sanctify it and all its furniture so that it may become holy. As we said before, the tabernacle was separated from normal use and dedicated to be used to worship God. And it's the same for your life and for mine. Sanctification in our life, Living for God, living in holiness, means separating ourselves from sin, from evil, from this world, and dedicating yourself, dedicating your life to God, to His worship, His will, His work, His ways, His word. Going back to Romans, Romans chapter 6. I said we were going to be in Romans this morning. In Romans 6, verse 13, Paul says, "Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification." I've underlined the word present. Present. That's the key word here. Paul says, don't present yourself to sin, but present yourself to God. Now, your translation may read yield or some other word. The original idea, the picture of this word present, is a picture of a slave, a servant, standing before his master. You know, the master is sitting on his throne, right? And the slave is standing there at attention, ready to do his bidding. I'm at your command. I'm your servant. That's the picture of this word, present. Paul says, don't present yourself to sin to do its will, to do its bidding, but present yourself to God to do God's will, God's bidding. So dedication, saying, no, I'm not going to serve sin. I'm not going to serve flesh. I'm not going to serve the world. God, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to serve your will, your ways. And again, many of you are familiar with this verse, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Have you ever noticed, again, the concept of presenting, dedicating ourselves in this verse, this famous verse? I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Again, this command to you and to me, present. We are to present, to dedicate ourselves to God. He says this is true worship. The true worship is not just coming and singing songs for 20, 25 minutes on a Sunday morning, but our true spiritual worship is presenting our lives to God for His service, dedicating your whole life to Him, Monday through Saturday, Monday through Sunday, all week, dedicating yourself to God. That's true worship, presenting yourself, offering yourself, dedicating yourself to God. A.B. Simpson writes this, "Sanctification means dedication. It is not only to separate from, but to separate to. The radical idea of the word is set apart to be the property of another. And so the complement of this act, which we have already partly described, is this positive side in which we offer ourselves to God for His absolute ownership, that He may possess us as His peculiar property, prepare us for His purpose and work, prepare us for His purpose and work out in us all His holy and perfect will." I love that. The idea of property. Do you know what the word redeem means? You know, we talk about, hey, we've been redeemed. Redemption. You know, the word redeem actually means to be purchased. The Bible tells you that you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. What was the price that God paid for you, that Jesus paid for you? It's His blood. Jesus paid the highest price for you. His life. He gave His life for you. And so actually, your life is not your own. It belongs to God. And sanctification just means acknowledging that that's true. Living in that reality. God, my life is not my own. My life is yours. I'm your property. I'm your servant. I am here to do your will. God, work through me. Sanctification as dedication. You know, A.B. Simpson has a great illustration, but it's over 100 years old. So I'm going to steal his illustration. All good illustrations are stolen. And I'm going to turn it into today's terms. So imagine a person living on a large property, a large lot, living in an old shack, a run-down little shack, a house that is old and falling apart, the walls and the floors. And imagine that a property developer, a real estate development agency, comes and they buy the entire lot, as they often do, in order to do what? In order to develop this lot, to you know, raise it to the ground and to build up a brand new whatever. Housing complex, apartment complex, whatever, and then turn around and sell it for more money, right? Well, imagine if the person that lives in this little old shack came to this real estate development firm and said, look, I've taken out a loan, I've painted my walls, and I've redone my roof, and I've redone the floors, and I've tried to make this old shack look as good as it can be. What do you think the property developer would do? They would say, why are you trying to do this on your own? Just give it to me. I'll raise it to the ground. I will rebuild it and make it much, much more beautiful than anything you could ever do. Just give it to me. And that's just like what God does in our lives. You know, when we try to sanctify ourselves, when we try to say, God, look what I did. Look what I stopped doing, God. Hey, God, look what I'm doing now for you. God's like the property developer. He just says, hey, just give it to me. If you just give it to me, what I can build out of your life is much, much greater than anything you can ever do. And so the application is, once again, the question is, are you sanctified? Sanctification as dedication. First question, have you dedicated yourself to God? Have you dedicated your life, yourself to God? And the second question is the same as the first, it's just a little bit more specific. Have you made a conscious decision before God in prayer to dedicate your life to God? To dedicate your life to God's will, to God's work, to His ways, to His worship. Have you done that? Separating yourself from this world, dedicating your life completely, surrendering to God, saying, here I am. You can have all of me. I dedicate my life to serving you, living the way you want me to live, worshiping you, doing your work, doing your will. Sanctification as dedication. Well, let's look at the third and the final aspect of sanctification. The third and the final aspect of sanctification is spirit filling. Spirit filling. And again, in our text, in Exodus chapter 40, verse 34, when the tabernacle had been built, when it had been dedicated to God, what was God's response? God's response was to fill the tabernacle with His presence. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. I also have a reference here in 2 Chronicles, because it's interesting. If you read the account of the construction of the temple, remember Solomon, the son of David, built the temple. After the temple was consecrated, was dedicated, was sanctified to God, what was God's response? The same thing. He filled the temple with His glory. You see a pattern here? And it's the same in your life and in mine. As we separate ourselves from sin and we dedicate our lives to God, God's response is to fill us with His Spirit, to fill us with His power. And as I've mentioned already, that is God's will. It's God's will for you to be filled with His Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, don't be drunk with wine. Don't be full of wine, alcohol. That's debauchery. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. God's will for you is to be filled with His Spirit, with His power, with His glory, with His presence. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And Simpson writes this about sanctification. He says, sanctification means filling. Christ Himself must be the substance and supply of our new spiritual life and fill us with His own Spirit and holiness. Our purity must be the imparting of His life. Our peace is His peace within us. Our love is the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. Our very faith must continually be supplied from His own Spirit. We bring to Him but an empty hand, clean and open, and He fills it. We are but a capacity, and He is the supply. Sanctification means emptying yourself in order to be filled with God. We separate ourselves from sin and from this world. We empty ourselves of this world and the wickedness and the dirt and the filth in order to allow God to fill us, to be filled with God, God's love, God's peace, God's power, God's truth, God's word. Emptying ourselves so that God can fill us. And sanctification, then, is not your work, is not something you try to do to impress God, but it's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's the work of God in you. If you study sanctification in the New Testament, there are many verses that tell us that the work of sanctification is the work of the Holy Spirit. Going back to Romans. When in doubt, read Romans, right? Romans 7 verse Romans 8. You guys ever compared Romans chapter 7 to Romans chapter 8? You know, Romans chapter 7 is the chapter that describes the believer's struggle and defeat to sin, right? I've quoted a couple of verses here. Paul says, I don't understand my own actions. I do not do what I want, but I do the thing I hate. If I do not do what I want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now that it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. Paul talks about this struggle in the Christian life. How many of you have struggled? Said, God, I'm trying to live for you, but I can't. It's hard. I can't do this Christian thing. Paul says, you know, I try to do what's good. The good thing that I should do, I don't do it. Then I try not to do the bad thing I shouldn't do, and that's what I do. It's the believer's defeat to sin in Romans chapter 7. Now notice, what's the key word in Romans 7? What's the key word? I, me, my. You guys know what the Greek word for I is? What is I in Greek? Ego, right? Ego. You guys know that, right? Ego. Hey, ego. It's all about me. It's me trying to do God's work for him. Me trying to show God what I can do. Me, my, I do this, I do that. Trying to be a Christian, my own strength. And what's the result? Failure, defeat. Romans chapter 8, though, presents the other side of the story. Thank God for Romans chapter 8. If you never read Romans chapter 8, you've got to do it. Romans chapter 8 describes our victory over sin. Verse 2, we can't talk about the whole chapter today, right? But just a couple verses. Verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. What's the key word there? What's the key word in that text? Chapter 8. Spirit. In 17 verses in chapter 8, in 17 verses, Paul uses the word Spirit 18 times. Do you see the contrast? I, me, my, failure, defeat, fail. Spirit, Holy Spirit, victory, power. You see, the Christian life is not something for us to try on our own to live for God, but we have to have God's Holy Spirit filling and flowing through us. And so are you filled with the Holy Spirit? And you may be asking, well, I'd love to be filled, but I don't know how. Jesus said, just ask. Just ask. Luke 11:13. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? You don't have because you don't ask. So that's my question for you this morning. Are you sanctified? Sanctification as Spirit filling. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Why do we need to be filled with God's Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit is what? God's power for holy living and effective service. The Holy Spirit in your life is God's power in your life to live in holiness, to live the Christian life as it's meant to be lived. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The fruit of the Spirit in your life. And also God's power to minister on his behalf. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So do you have God's power for holy living and for effective service? And whether you've never been filled with the Spirit or whether for 1,000 times you've been filled with the Spirit, the question is, will you ask God to fill you again with his Holy Spirit? We're going to be studying the book of Acts in a couple months. And if you study the book of Acts, you'll see that the apostles ask God to fill them with his Holy Spirit every day. You know, in my own life, almost every day I wake up. Well, all of us wake up, right? But I wake up and try to spend some time in prayer and pray through the Lord's Prayer. And I use these three aspects of sanctification in my daily prayer life. When it says, you know, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. My prayer is, God, may your will be done through me here on earth today as it is carried out by your angels in heaven. And therefore, Lord, today I separate myself from sin, from evil, from wickedness. It's not me. It's dead. It has no power over me. God, I dedicate myself to you today. I dedicate myself, my life, my thoughts, my actions, my words, dedicated to you. Now, I'm not telling you I do this every day. I pray this every day. It doesn't always work out, but at least I try to pray it every day. And then I say, God, please fill me. I separate myself from sin. I dedicate my life to you. Please fill me this day. I need a fresh filling with your Holy Spirit. In conclusion, this morning we've talked about the sanctification of the tabernacle. And therefore we've talked about your sanctification and my sanctification. How can we live in holiness? How can our lives be a holy temple to the Lord? Three aspects of sanctification: separation, dedication, and spirit filling. Sanctification as separation. As the tabernacle was separated from normal use, so we must completely separate ourselves from all sin in our lives. So have you separated yourself from sin, from wickedness, from evil in this world? Secondly, sanctification as dedication. As the tabernacle was dedicated to the worship of God, so we must dedicate our lives completely to God. Have you presented yourself, dedicated yourself to God, to his work, to his will, to his ways, his worship, dedicating your life to him? And thirdly, sanctification as spirit filling. As God's glory filled the tabernacle, so the sanctified life leads to God filling us with his Holy Spirit. And you have not because you ask not. Let us ask God to fill us with his Holy Spirit, with his power to live the way he wants us to live. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, I'm amazed when I read the book of Exodus and I read these old stories. And then as I begin to reflect on what it means for us today, I'm always amazed at just how relevant your word is. Things that are pictured in the Old Testament are revealed and explained and expounded and taught in the New Testament. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone in here who is not yet your holy temple, you know, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. You can be a temple of God's Holy Spirit through faith in Jesus Christ. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So don't waste today. If you have not taken that step to follow Jesus, to make him your Lord and Savior, then make that step today. But most of us in this room, we have taken that step, Lord. We are your temple. Your Spirit dwells in us. Thank you, Lord, for cleansing us and for dwelling in us. And I pray that we would live up to that. Because you live in us, I pray that we would be a holy temple. I pray that we would separate ourselves from this world and be different. Not just be like everyone else, but be different, God. I pray that we would dedicate our lives. Lord, what you could build of our lives, from our lives, is so much greater than what we can build ourselves. God, may we dedicate our lives to you and allow you to build our lives and work in and through us. And finally, God, we're asking you to fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, God. As your presence filled the tabernacle, God, fill us. We need a fresh filling with your Holy Spirit that we might have your power, not our own, but your power to live life as you intended it. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and sing our final song.